Welcome back. You're listening to the Chris Gilbertson Show. And of course, I'm Chris. Thanks for tuning in again. And where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful, and through expert and millionaire interviews, we share tips and advice to help you as an entrepreneur explode your business. And if you'd like to learn how to dominate the search engines and rank on page one of Google in the top slots every single time, head over to chrisgilbertson.com to learn more about how podcasting can help you do that. And without further ado, we're heading back into the third clip of Tony Lister's interview. Tony is a success coach and has coached thousands of individuals all across the world on how to overcome addiction. And this clip is talking about how we become overstimulated and how our body reacts to that and how that addiction kicks in.
Talk about my experience of what has worked for me and that, you know, we currently have thousands of people in my programs and what can help there. But part of what I learned, I had the opportunity to study meditation with one of the greatest meditation teachers on the planet today. And he taught me that when the body feels stress, it's an uncomfortable feeling, right? So throughout the day, the body's going to accumulate stress. We're going to feel stress with the food we eat causes stress. There's going to be noise stress. There's going to be environmental stress. There's going to be mental stress, pressures on us, things we have to do. And when as we go through our day, the central nervous system accumulates stress. And that stress starts to build up and build up and build up and build up. And if we don't release it, then our brain starts to crave adrenaline to offset the stress. That's how the brain gets away from the uncomfortable feeling of stress, is with adrenaline. Now, the primary way that our body releases stress is through rest. The challenge is that, you know, 100 years ago, people on average got 10 hours of sleep a night.
Right.
What do you think the average is nowadays?
I'd say 6.
Yeah, like 6 or 6.5.
Right.
And sometimes when I get 6, I'm really happy. I'm like, wow.
Right.
I'm asleep. Right?
Exactly.
So when we don't get enough rest, there's an overaccumulation of stress in the nervous system, and the brain will crave adrenaline. And the thing about this is, we can try and be disciplined. We can try and say, oh, yeah, no, I have a strong will. I'm going to be disciplined. But if we're violating natural law in our body will get its needs met. And so it doesn't matter how disciplined someone is. If they are not doing things to decompress the stress, then their brain is going to crave adrenaline. And if they resist that craving long enough, their brain, the animal side of the brain will take over and they will experience adrenaline one way or another. And so there's this element of, if we follow natural law in our body, then we can break this addictive cycle. And so there were studies done at Stanford University, I think this was back in the 70s, when they started to study the effect of meditation on the brain. And certain types of meditation would actually put the brain into a state that was not a normal state of activity. It was called wakeful resting, I think is what they called it. And so it was a resting state, and yet the person was still alert and awake. And it was this totally out of the norm from all the brain studies of saying, okay, there's resting state, there's sleeping brain, there's rapid eye movement, there's these different levels that the brain goes into. And meditation put people into an entirely different category that did not occur naturally. And mm-hmm. What they found is that state of restful, what did I call it? Restful waking or waking restful? I don't even know. Basically, it's you're alert and your body has gone into the state of deep rest. And they found that in that state, it was more restful on the system than sleep.
Wow.
And the body released more stress out of the central nervous system than sleeping. And so what we can do, there are ways for us to manage our life in a way where we don't need the addictive elements. And so, you know, for me, when I met my teacher's name is Tom Bell, and his website is transcendingthemadness.com. transcendingthemadness.com. And Tom has worked with a lot of famous people and leaders around the world, you know, Diana Ross and Anthony Hopkins and the Beatles.
Wow.
And Beach Boys, Michael Jackson, and Just like lots of different people had gone to him because he's the best. And I was teaching a seminar, and I used to teach these six-day seminars. And I'd be on stage from 8 in the morning until like 6 at night and then go do evening events till midnight. And six days in a row, and I'd get so jacked up, wasted out of my mind, that by the fifth or sixth day, I had to have like an IV of caffeine running through my arm just to stay awake. It was so brutal. And he met me. He was at one of the events, and he came up, and he was so tactful about how he's like, dude, you seem a little stressed out. And, you know, my eyes were twitching. I'm like, oh, really? No, I'm fine. He piqued my interest. And so I actually flew him out from, he lives in Hawaii. I flew him out from Maui to our house, and he taught my wife and I and a couple other friends how to meditate. And I have done it almost every day since, and this was years ago.
Wow.
And not because I'm a super consistent person. I'm somewhat sporadic. I consistently sleep because my body demands it. I consistently drink water and eat food because my body demands it, and I consistently meditate because I don't know how to function if I don't. Well, no, that's not true. I know how to function without meditation, and it's with a myriad of addictions.
Right.
You know, that's just, and I much prefer the peace that comes with meditation than the never-ending cycle of cravings and compulsion that comes with addiction. So that's why I meditate. I don't know how to function without it. And I remember hearing Wayne Dyer say that once, years ago, 15 years ago, I was listening to a program, and he said, I just don't know how I'd face life without meditation. I thought, that's ridiculous. What in the world can 20 minutes twice a day do? Like,
right. What
kind of, you sit there quietly for 20 minutes twice a day? Like, how is that helping your life? I just don't get it. And now I look at it and I go, wow, I feel sorry for people who don't know how to meditate.
Huh.
So, here's what's happening. This is why we get addicted. We are violating natural law in our body. We're adding too much stress to the central nervous system, and we have a shame-based identity. So if we're pushing the machine beyond what it was intended to do, our inner dialogue is destructive and is based on a lie, and that lie is that we are bad. And we add too much stress without taking enough stress off. And that's the perfect recipe for addiction.
Hmm.
So some of the things that have to happen in order to break this cycle is we have to take a look at how to break the shame cycle. And what's really valuable is to be able to look at our behaviors and recognize that when we act out addictively and compulsively, it's perfect. It's the perfect response to the stimulus that we put on our machine. You know, it's like running a program on a computer. If you run a program that goes 1 plus 1 and it says it equals 2, that's correct.
Right.
And so if we run a life, if we have a life where we're eating overstimulating foods, we have a self-image that says that we suck, that we're bad, we can't be loved, and we overaccumulate stress all day long, and we don't have any healthy outlets of decompressing it. Well, of course we're going to have addictions. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I like about life is you just get a new chance every single day.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's like this wonderful gift from the universe, from God, that says, okay, cool, try again.
Yep.
Sun comes up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
The seasons keep repeating. It's like, okay, how did that go for you? And I personally believe that life is about choice and consequence. We get to choose things, then we experience the consequence, and then we can decide if we like those consequences. We get to plant a garden, we get to reap the harvest, and then we get to decide if we like that harvest. And then we have a period of time that is the winter, you know, when we can't harvest, and we have to live with what we created for a while. And then the spring comes and we get a new chance. We get to start again. And the more we follow natural law with our life, the greater the harvest. It's just the lesson we just keep getting taught year after year after year. And unfortunately, our modern culture, it just sort of like sets people up on this impossible standard of, you know, the people we look up to are often just totally out of balance. They're violating natural law in their body, and we think, if I could just be like them, then I'd finally be enough.
Right.
You know, if I could just get more money, then I'd be enough. If I could just get that partner, then I'd be enough. Mm-hmm. If I could just get some recognition and some validation that I was awesome, then I'd be enough. Challenge is, there is no quantity of those things that will make you enough. Being enough is not an external game. And I can tell you this from having experienced a lot of those things. All these dreams I had of achievement, a lot of them were rooted in to try to get some validation because I thought I sucked. And I grew up and I had people tell me I sucked and I was a loser and I'd never make anything of myself. And I had, you know, I got rejected very painfully by girls when I was a kid. And I, you know, just like I just had a self-image that I was a bad person because, you know, I'd had a couple of reckless years as a teenager and sort of stuck in my mind that I was second class on some levels. And so there was this need to try and prove something. Prove those people wrong that told me I was a loser.
Right.
The problem is, it didn't matter how much money I made or what kind of toys I got or what kind of trips I took or any of the things that I thought were going to make me enough. It didn't matter how big the house was I lived in. It never was enough on the inside. And it's so interesting to me to be in this place in my life today where I've arrived. And it has nothing to do with how much money I have in the bank. It has nothing to do with any external success or failure. It has nothing to do with my relationships. It has nothing to do with approval from people on the outside or how good or bad I'm being. I've arrived because I got to this place of having compassion on myself, recognizing that every choice I made was just trying to fix pain in my life. I did the best I could with what I had. I was handed patterns that were guaranteed to lead to addiction. And so, of course, they did. And now I've learned some tools that when I use these tools, I don't experience the addiction. And so to get to this place of recognizing, this is how I look at it. Someone has spiritual beliefs, they can say, I'm a child of God with infinite worth. And I've got a lot of friends that don't have spiritual beliefs. They're like, whatever, get rid of that religious mumbo-jumbo. So if someone doesn't have spiritual beliefs, consider your existence. You're listening to this podcast, and you have conscious awareness that you exist. Most of the animals on this planet don't consciously think, I exist, or I have thoughts. Wow, I have a body. I can experience the sensation of this body, and I can observe how my big toe feels right now. It's like this ability to have conscious awareness is a miracle in and of itself. And if someone doesn't have spiritual beliefs, consider the chances of your existence. I mean, it is such a miracle that we exist and that we have conscious awareness. So there was this big explosion in the universe, and this one, you know, accumulation of dust and matter started circling around this ball of fire, and it was the exact perfect distance to support life. And then some amoeba divided in the water and became a frog and crawled out and started breathing, and then eventually became, you know, a human being. And thousands and thousands and thousands or millions of years of human beings mating and reproducing end up a sperm and an egg inside of a woman's uterus that came out, and all of a sudden at, you know, 10 or 11 or 15 or 20 years old, you went, this is me. That's freaking incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know?
It is. I was just watching a TED Talk, not to interrupt you, but I forget her name. I'll have to look it up, but she was explaining how the probability of us being born is 1 out of 900,000, or it's even bigger than that. It's like infinite. It's crazy, the possibility that we're here and why we're here. So, yeah, just not to interrupt, but, yeah, it's just, it is.
No,
it's a phenomenal,
it's wonderful
concept.
I appreciate it. Yeah, so to consider that who we are is a miracle of the universe, and we get this finite amount of time in which we can use this physical body and direct it and move it and express it, and we can create something with it, whatever we choose to create. And I don't think one creation is greater than another, because at the end of the day, it's all sandcastles that get washed away anyway. right? But we get to express. We get to take something inside of us that calls out to be expressed, and we get to take the physical body and express it for a finite amount of time, and then we know the physical body will die. And then what happens after that, we can all speculate on, right?
Right.
But in this moment, to take a look at it and say, you are not bad. You're a miracle of the universe. You're a miracle of expression and creation. The behaviors that you have done are accumulation of all the patterns you were given as a child before you had a chance to even observe them. And you coped with life through these different behaviors. And you can look at certain behaviors and separate your behavior from your worth. And you can say, okay, yeah, I have worth. I am a miracle of creation. I'm a child of God with infinite worth. And I did something that doesn't serve me. And I did it to try and get a fix. And now I'm going to make a new choice. But I'm not going to shame myself. It's choice and consequence.
You were just listening to the interview clip with Tony Lister where he talks about addiction and how we become addicted through the chemical balances in our body. And the final clip that will be released shortly here is Tony talking about how to overcome addiction through the power of meditation, where he walks you through exactly how to use that in your life to help you. And trust me, it is absolutely amazing and mind-blowing what you're going to learn on this next call. So again, you're listening to The Chris Gilbertson Show. I'm Chris, and thanks for tuning in, where we focus in on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful. And to learn more about Tony and his programs, head over to Chris Gilbertson, that's Chris with a K.com, and you go out and you make it a great day.